This is the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. Acta non verba.
And here we are again on a fun-filled evening.
Hey, we should be
one of these
Monday.
Naked sometime. You know, no one would know we were naked, just shirtless. But
who said I was wearing pants?
I was just gonna say,
yeah, but you're wearing a shirt, so I know you're not naked. Just because you're not wearing pants or boxers,
I got a shirt on, but my dick's out.
But you're still not naked. Your dick's out, but you're not naked. You're not naked. Naked is all much or nothing.
Naked and afraid. Naked and afraid.
So without a shirt is naked, but without pants on is not naked.
No. I'm saying it. If we just were shirtless and said we were naked, people wouldn't believe us, but we could do the whole thing naked.
We're not even on YouTube, so it doesn't really matter.
I know. Someday we'll be on Patreon when we get around to it.
Yeah, Jimmy, what are you doing?
He's getting naked too much.
Yeah.
Extracurricular activities.
Have a sack out podcast. I will not confirm or deny, but it is possible that one season of Drum Corps, there may have been one rehearsal where it was a sack out rehearsal. And so everybody had, you know, their drums on and all that sort of stuff. And maybe just their sack hanging out of their shorts for the entire rehearsal. I mean, I'm not saying it happened. I'm saying it could have happened that there might have been a sack out
now,
rehearsal.
Okay,
probably and theoretically it may have taken place in or around DeKalb, Illinois.
You know, you have all these fun stories, and you know all this stuff, Jimmy. But now that your daughter is in drum corps, what do you think of these stories looking back? Are you going to make sure they're all curtailed?
Well, it's in a drum line in a private Christian school, so
it's the worst.
Yeah, you know they have higher pregnancy rates in those schools than they do public, right?
I don't know what you're talking about. So, or maybe more accurately, I'm in denial about what you're talking about. There's less chance of that. If she actually went into drum corps, that's a whole nother can of worms. In fact, me and one of my best friends who marched together, he said, my sons can march all they want. My daughters, no fucking way. Now, we'll see if that really happened. Like if that comes to, he has two daughters and a son. So we'll see.
Let's see if that really
shakes out, but. Yeah, Lord knows. So, although it is a lot, the activity itself is a lot different. There would still be shenanigans, to be sure,
right.
But it's a lot more focused and a lot, like even more so than in serious, even more so than when I was in it. So, you know, I'm not saying, you know, there's always room for shit to happen.
Yeah.
When there's a will, there's a way, kind of thing. Well, and you have kids together on the road, minimal supervision,
stuff,
shit's bound to happen. Yeah, so
adolescent kids, you'd never know what the fuck's gonna happen.
Yeah, exactly.
They're already smarter than us in a lot of areas than we were at their age.
Yeah, I'm just hoping my experiences help me catch maybe 10% of it. If I'm lucky, it'll be 20, but
yeah, it'll be one of those. It'd come home and she'd be like, Dad, we need to talk. Is it about drumline?
Do I really want to know?
No, talk. do I really want to hear this?
Yeah. Although I will say, we'll see if I'll be proved right on this, but I have my working theory, because both my girls are intelligent. My oldest is smart. My youngest is clever. And I'm convinced that if my oldest were to try something, you guys will see it from your house. If she was going to do something that was anything untoward or questionable behavior, it will be telegraphed from a mile away. Sure. My youngest, on the other hand, could use her powers, could not only use her powers, she's already clever, but use her powers of observation, figure out how her older sister screwed up, and refine the process in such a way that she's like a ninja. And nobody's going to know nothing until way after the fact, if at all.
I can't remember if it was my junior or senior year. I'm thinking it was senior year. But I was walking in the I don't know if she was either the, what do you call it, the class president, or she was a vice president or whatever. But she was like on all the honor grades, goody two shoe, blah, blah, blah. But we worked with each other as lifeguards, so we knew each other down from where we worked. But I was chatting, and it was like after auto shop or something, and I'm walking down the hall, and I was like, I was just hungry. So I was like, I'm skipping next hour. I'm going to walk out the door, hop in, and go. We're walking down the aisle, and she's like, are you really going to skip class? Yeah. You're just leaving. I'm like, uh-huh. Okay, well, can I go with you? Yeah, sure. I don't care. Da, da, da. And as we're walking down the hall, just like you're talking, here comes our school security / I think he was either a part-time cop or retired. I'm not sure, but he was a really cool guy. I got along with him great. We used to chat, da, 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 walking down the hall. And he's like, where are you headed to, Nathan? I'm like, I was hungry. I was going to go out and grab a bite to eat. Do you want something? No, I'm good. I had a nice breakfast, da, da, da. Where are you going, miss? I'm headed out with Nathan. No, you're not. Wait, what? She ended up in detention for the rest of the day. I left myself something to eat, and I was rolling so hard. Got into work that night. She come in. She's like, do you know I ended up in detention? I was like, for what? For trying to skip class. nailed her to rights. I just walked up. Now, in retrospect, I look back at that time, though, they had already written me off.
We didn't expect anything out of you.
Yeah.
You're a lost cause.
So. I was a lost cause. I only showed up to auto shop most of the time. It had to be senior year because that was the same time. I remember going vaguely at the beginning of my high school, I had the same homeroom the whole time I was in high school. My senior year, I kind of vaguely remember going at the beginning. But then me and a couple buddies started to do coffee and donuts in the morning, and that cut into homeroom time. So we wouldn't go to homeroom. Well, at the end of the year, you got to go in and get all that stuff for graduation. I walk in there, and I'd already turned 18, so technically adult, went and signed the paper down at the office and all of that, walked in, and some gal that I didn't even recognize because it happened to be the band teacher who was my homeroom teacher, but they'd have a bunch of band students in the homeroom so they, quote, could practice, which they never did. Yeah. But I go in there, and she's like taking attendance and da-da-da-da-da, and turns around and go, who are you? And I'm like, well, who are you? This has been my homeroom for 4 years now. Who are you? Yeah. They're like, my name's Nathan, da-da-da. Oh. And the homeroom teacher comes out, which is Ben. He's like, oh, you finally decided to show up. Got a note for all your missed days of homeroom? I'm like, yep, sure do. I was like, you got a pencil? He goes, what? I was like, got a piece of paper? Oh, you turned 18, didn't you? Because then I could write my own notes. Yeah. I didn't have to have a parent's note for writing off some excuse. He's like, screw it. Here's your graduation packet. Da 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 da. Thank you. Yeah. They were totally oblivious when I walked in there.
Yeah.
See, that was my fond memories. I hated high school, yeah. But those few moments, those are the ones I liked.
Who am I? Who the fuck are you?
Exactly. I've been here longer than you have. I'm getting ready to graduate.
Thank you. You had a nice. I was 18 my whole senior year, and I never got anything like that.
Really?
They wouldn't allow. There was like days I would act sick, and I would. I called my dad because my dad wasn't home at that time. And I'd be like, hey, I'm sick. Can you call me? He's like, calling yourself. You're 18. So I call them. They're like, you still have to have a parent. I'm like, I'm 18. They're like, we don't care.
Wow. See, it's probably because of kids like me that you got screwed.
That
over.
Ruined it for kids like CJ.
Thanks, fucker.
Yeah. Well, I was having a conversation this weekend and it's you know, going back to having daughters and doing stuff, you know, participating in the extracurricular activities that I had this weekend and thinking about, yeah, my daughter someday might be doing this same exact thing. It's like, whoa, wait, what? No. No fucking way.
She's an angel.
Yeah.
She would never.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
You still got a couple more years.
Yeah.
You're still in the clear.
Yeah. Plus, in those are weird, you know, in the same conversation we're talking, like, you remember, you know, when you're teenagers and sex, like, it's the older you get, it's so different than those early days where you're just fumbling around. Like, you know, oh, this part feels good. How do I get to that part? And that's all it is. And maybe you get there. Like, it's an individual sport. I got mine. You get yours almost. And, but it's like you accidentally, yeah. But it's almost like you trip over things that actually feel good or work or whatever, you know. It's like you're just fumbling. You think you know what the fuck you're doing, but
you don't.
You have zero clue of what's really going on. And, you know, just it's you know, we could go on because that's a whole podcast in and of itself.
So
like the mental part of it, the not just the physical part, but, you know, when you're 18 16 17 18 whatever age it is, even 15 in some cases, like, you know, what the hell do you know about anything other than, you know, tab A fits into slot B?
Got me in.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
What are you drinking, Jimmy?
I just finished drinking something called the Southside. And it has gin, simple syrup, lime juice in a shaker with ice and mint leaves. Mm. And oh my God, is it really good?
That sounds
high. Yeah. 10 out of 10 would recommend.
Do you make your own simple syrup?
Yes, I do. Fancy 5 ounces, fucker. 5 ounces of water and 3/4 cup of sugar. Dissolve the two.
Not that CJ's ever going to do it. Because you're as bad as I am, CJ. The only time we get drinks like that's if one we of the go to easiest, Jimmy G's.
One of the easiest things you can do.
It doesn't matter. If it doesn't involve just mixing alcohol.
You don't even have to.
Me and CJ are not doing anything. Our idea of a mixed drink is like a Red Bull and whiskey. That's about as mixed so as we're going to get.
It's you just take water and dissolve sugar in it. That's it. There's no cooking.
Yeah.
There's no boiling.
But you just labeled off complicated. Yeah, you got like 5 things and you follow a recipe. If it doesn't involve, like, you know, adding bitters to something or two, we talked earlier in the green room.
Yeah.
If it's not adding 2 alcohols together, my idea and CJ's idea of doing a mixed drink
is
like taking a peanut butter liqueur and pouring it into whiskey just to see if it would give it a nice romantic. But it's like, let's take one strong alcohol and add another one to it to get flavor.
What happens when you put Fireball and tequila together?
Exactly. You end up puking if anyone wonders.
I'm like not even tasting it. I'm already throwing up.
This is something me and CJ have in common. We enjoy. I won't talk for CJ, but I have enjoyed every drink you've ever made because they're every one of them's awesome. But I just don't have the patience for it. I even got a bartender's book. If it involves more than one alcohol, I might be able to go da da da. But if it's like, hey, you need these six things to make this drink taste well, I'm like, bitters and whiskey. Okay, I can do that. After I figured out what bitters was, so
I still don't know exactly. I've heard the word. I've heard it. I don't know what it is.
You just got to go to some place, ask them to buy bitters. They point at a bottle and you go, this stuff? And they go, yeah. And you pick the bottle up. That's all you do. That's it.
Simple. I like it.
And then you go, well, how much do... Oh, there's a little hole in it. So you can only like go, like shake and squirt a little. And then it's like to color.
Yeah, it's like
a
Tabasco bottle.
Yeah. Takes forever to use one.
Yeah, it's
that's better. It's not like the actual bottle of liquor.
Well,
yeah, this weekend I made
2 years and it's still what right there.
You got that right on hand,
a quarter. That's how he gets through the podcast. He's got a mini bar next to the computer. That's how he gets through the podcast.
He literally just goes, oh, I got it right here.
Where do you keep yours? You got a big bar. Oh, you probably got a fancy bar someplace, don't you? In the big fancy house.
Me?
It's a cupboard somewhere.
I barely have any bottles of liquor. No. Mine don't stay around.
This is, that's the bitters, not the alcohol.
Oh, I don't have any bitters.
Okay. Yeah. If you had bitters, you could set it on your desk. But there's a difference between us and like Jimmy G. He's got cabinets full of alcohol so he can mix drinks. What do we do? We're lucky if we have a bottle by our desk that we might pour ourselves a glass.
Is that a tab?
I just got delivered a beer.
Awesome.
Beer me.
This is going to be a good podcast then.
She literally just walked in and handed it to me. I'm like, how did you? Perfect.
That's a sign of a good woman. You should marry her.
I'll think about it.
Take it under advisement. Yeah. So this past weekend, I made that South Side, which is really good. I made a daiquiri, rum, lime juice, simple syrup. That's awesome. Made Irish coffee. So Jameson coffee. Even took heavy cream and whipped it in my own to make whipped cream.
You're sophisticated. We're simple. We get it.
In the green room, I was telling Nate, I made a caramel apple milkshake with brandy, gin martini, like a regular martini.
You were just going through the recipe book, weren't you?
A Vesper martini. I was hoping to get a mojito and mint julep in, but I'll work that in later. Oh, I made a daiquiri. Yeah, I already mentioned that. So yeah, it was a good weekend. Just trying out stuff. And that wasn't like in one night. It's like over the course of 3 days, just, you know, made coffee in the morning because that's what you do anyway. But it's like, let's sit on the back porch, drink our Irish coffee, and
there we go.
Good times. Good times.
Nice.
What can you do with an energy drink? Like not Red Bull.
Sure, we could figure something out. Because there's some of those recipes, I'm sure you could swap out like juice of some kind for some like a bag. Like
no, CJ,
Lorraine orange creamsicle. That would go good with something.
Yeah, but yeah. But the thing is, you should drink energy drinks during the day and then take the alcohol at night to calm back down. So you're running spritz the fun all day long.
I'm going both ways down. First thing in the morning. I'm split.
Well, that's the Irish coffee, right? They like it can hit you like a Mack truck because the Jameson and the caffeine that speeds up your metabolism. So,
yeah,
damn straight. Well, let's go.
The best thing about an Irish coffee is it holds off the hangover that you could have possibly had because you're already back to getting drunk again.
Yep,
it works. Wakes you up.
And Luton Rally.
There you go.
I was going to say, I'd rather take one of those over a fucking Bloody Mary. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I absolutely hate Bloody Marys.
I think it's in the person making them because I have had like one good one in my entire life. And it was at an oddball place. And it was like someone else ordered it for me and it was actually good. But it comes down to the person making it. And I think it's like 1 in 1,000 bartenders, not even people knowing how to make it. It's actual bartenders, 1 in 1,000 even know how to make it right. And it comes down to you got to know what you're doing to make that drink.
Yeah. And if you're using too much like tomato based stuff,
Yeah. I'll have to check the book that I have and see. And try the Bloody Mary because I've had the same experience, Nate, where it's like I've had a number of them, not a ton, but I've had a number of them because every once in a while I go, you know what, it sounds good, or they have a version that sounds good, I'll give it a try. And it's like, yeah, it's like 1 in 1,000 kind of odds that it's good. And there is something in the book that I want to try. It's a celery gimlet. So it's like you muddle celery. And it's, I don't know what's in it. I don't know if it's rum or vodka, but
you lost me.
It sounds, well, that's just it. It sounds so terrible.
You know what that
means? That I almost want to try it.
You said celery gimlet. The first thing
is the gimlet lime?
I don't know, but all I think of is the gimp from Pulp Fiction. That's what popped into my head. Celery gimbo, whatever. Yeah, that's. I'm like, if you want to go down that path, Jimmy. Hey, no judgment.
Yeah.
Do not sign me up for that.
What's our first?
Okay, here's something.
Gin and lime juice is a gimlet.
Mm-hmm.
So, just add some muddle
celery.
It sounds terrible, but that's why I want to try it. Like, it sounds just absolutely horrendous. It's so ridiculous that part of me wants to go, huh, I wonder what that's like.
It's so crazy. It just might work.
And I'm not a celery fan. I mean, it's like,
you know, that's a drink you should make and serve to CJ after he's had a couple and say, but don't tell him what it is.
Yeah, don't tell him what it is.
Just say, hey, try this real quick. All right.
You really want to ruin a fucking buzz, don't you?
If CJ actually likes it, we know it's a good drink.
It's like Czech cereal.
Yeah.
Hey, he likes it.
There we go.
It's an old-timey cultural reference.
I don't know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty old then.
Yes, it is.
It's before your time.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Mikey, he likes it. Anyway, what's our first?
Our first
official question, topic.
Question, whatever topic. What should the age limit be for getting a driver's license? And this came about because I was chatting with their neighbor and they were talking about because her boy's a year away from getting his and mine's just a few days away from getting his. And I guess I'm not sure at the state or federal level, they're getting ready to change it to 18.
Jesus.
Yeah. And I'm like,
no,
wait, not a minute. Really. But if
change it to 18, and yet if you're 5 and think you're the opposite gender, you can.
Exactly. But that won't kill other people. That only kills you.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's fair.
It kind of makes me think about military. If you just learned how to drive, who the fuck's going to drive the Humvees?
Oh, good point.
It's the people that have been in there for a few years because they've actually known how to drive. That's just going to make everybody not a very good driver. You won't have any experience on your belt.
Well, here's my thought. He has to do 50 hours of driving with me, 10 plus hours with the driver instructor. He has to do driver's ed, which is up to number of hours. He's got to fill out a whole bunch of other things and everything, being 16. Okay, all well and good. Well, when you turn 18 right now, you don't have to take a driver's ed class. You can just go down there and see if you can pass your test or not. So really, you're taking out of this time. I personally think they should go the other way, not necessarily give a driver's license right away, maybe wait till 16, but I think they should start handing out like driver permits about like 13 or 14 years old.
Can they still get those?
No, you can't get one until you're like 15 and going to turn 16 within 9 months or something in Illinois. Other states might be different, and you might be thinking of husbandry laws. Husbandry laws are a little bit different, but the average kid out there, if you can get a driver permit, and I know a lot of kids, it comes off maturity level. There's 14-year-olds that I know that can drive better than adults. And I know there's adults that should never be behind a steering wheel ever in their life. So maturity wise, ain't that
the fucking truth,
you know, but it's like, I would think they would should start the driver permit earlier. It's like, oh, I'd like to start my kid learning how to drive at 14. Let him get a permit and then be like, as long as he's with an adult, no, he can't get his license till 16, 17, something, whatever. But it's like, if you make everyone hold out, basically they're taking it away where the driver training, like the schools won't have to do it. In Illinois, that's almost the only place there's a driver's ed program anymore is through a high school. You got to... And they're all closing up. It's like,
that's fucking stupid.
Yeah. So
they're taking independency away from kids as well.
Yes.
They're making them more dependent than ever.
They go to college. They want to have a car. They don't know how to drive yet. They're like,
God.
And one of the excuses is there's more fatalities between the ages of 16 and 17 than there is like 17 to 19. Well, yeah, because all those stupid asses went and killed themselves and the rest of them learned how to drive.
Yeah.
So the reason there isn't more deaths is they've already had, you take those 2 years away, that 18, 19 year range is going to be the area where everyone starts having more accidents again. That's my thoughts.
You're just killing them older.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought there, at least in the state of Nebraska, there might be some like rural farm, not exemption, but thing where you can start them earlier at the very least. I don't know that they can drive on their own any earlier, but you know, if you're driving a truck around a farm, if you're, farm, you know, which could be acres and acres of land, not just, you know, we're not just talking about 1 or 2 acres kind of thing. We're driving a tractor even right there. I think there's exemptions or potential exceptions, I should say, in those instances, but I don't know if that's still a thing that used to be.
I think it still is under husbandry laws. There are rules in there. I think even in Illinois, there's husbandry things like grain trucks, and they have certain rules and regulations with them, but there aren't that many farm kids anymore.
Yeah.
So really that doesn't apply to that many, but when you start jacking the age up, And I was trying to look it up to see if it was a federal thing or a state thing. But even then, that's going to affect a lot. Hell, you're effectively telling people they can't get a job until they turn 18, because most of the time you got to have transportation to get to work.
Yeah. You know? Reliable transportation at that too. Yeah. I mean, it's, go ahead, CJ.
Yeah. Well, how many times did you drive to school? How's everybody going to get, everybody going to have to ride the bus then? Well, most people can't even get to the bus. That's going to complicate things for everybody. Parents aren't going to be able to let their kids go and drive to school. They're going to have to wait to go to work. I mean, especially people that work construction actually don't go in till 6 o'clock in the morning. That's going to fuck their whole day up. You thought your kid was going to have a little independence, so you wouldn't, I mean, you're going to worry, but you won't have to worry about how they're getting to school.
Yeah. Right. Or, well, you know, and right, you look forward to that moment where they can drive, because then it's one less thing that you have to worry about. Or even eventually you have your kid, hey, can you run to the store and grab this thing? Or hey, can you go pick up your sibling from...
Well, in school's a good example, because usually your school's not that far away. It's a short drive. It's a great learning experience from them to drive from home to school and back again, because it's normally, it's not like driving hours or anything. It's, you know, 15, 20 minutes or something, because it's in a school district, county, whatever. Yeah, that's a good place for them to go learn to drive, and they could all bang into each other's cars there or something, you know?
Yeah. But I don't know that I feel, I mean, I've 16 seems like a fine age to keep it at. Like, I don't see why you need... I could understand the reasoning behind wanting to change it, but do we really need to change it? Like, you know, it's like, because how long has that been the case where, I mean, insurance rates are higher for the younger you are anyway, right? So it's like, it is what it is.
You know, strangely,
you're not
going to
change it.
This is a weird one. And granted, with my discounts, age, blah, 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 everything else they have and stuff, I went and estimated his insurance out. It's not going to be that bad. I mean, granted, it's not full coverage. It's just regular liability and everything.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be as big a jump as I thought it was going to be. So I'm... Granted, he's driving a 24-year-old car, and it's banged up and has, I mean, they're like, is it? I'm like, we're gonna pay more insurance than what the car's worth.
Yeah.
So, but yeah,
but that's by that's by design, or like that's what you were looking for from a vehicle perspective. Just this initial. Yeah.
If it gets beamed up or he puts it in a ditch, I don't care, because what, you know, it's like you're looking at it and you're like. Yeah. But I was kind of impressed to how much insurance cost when I was his age compared to now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's drastically lower. I was expecting a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, his is a cheaper. Mortgage payment.
Yeah. His is cheaper than mine back then. So you throw inflation and everything in there, and I was expecting a hell of a... I'm like, that's all he's going to pay? I was like shocked. If he keeps good grades up, then he gets even another discount. And granted, it's a discount thing. You know, you have car and all this good driving and blah, blah,
whatever. Blah. But that's the whole,
that's the
game you need to play.
Yep. Yeah.
The one thing though, more broadly speaking, that I have, that I take issue with is we have multiple ages for different things. And like, you can
die for like, your country, but you
can't drink
or smoke.
You can vote, but you can't drink. You can drive, and they want to lower the voting age
either.
Yeah, they raise the smoking to 21 as well.
Oh yeah, and then you want to lower the voting age. There has been talk recently and in the past of lowering the voting age to 16. It's like, okay, so dumber people, but it's like 18, but then, you know, so it's just this radical, like, thing to thing, what we consider adult or what we consider responsible human being. It's arbitrary. Like, just let's have a age. I mean, I can understand some potentially having some differences for some things, but generally speaking, it's like, men go off to war, young men are going off to war, especially recently, we tend to be, you know, with the exception of 4 years, we tend to like starting wars or getting into places, regardless, you know, and regardless of what you think, I'm not trying to make a political statement of whether it's right or wrong, but, you know, yet you can't smoke or can't drink, you can't this, you can't that. It's like, and then potentially you can't even fucking drive. So it's like, holy shit, like, what can we get our poop in a group here and figure out what the fuck an age should be?
Well, I think is interesting, and this is one of my old gripes and soapboxes, is at one time you only needed an eighth grade education. by the time you got done with eighth grade, and even now they have eighth grade graduations, and then you kind of go off to high school, you know. But by the time you were done with eighth grade, you should have been able to go into society and survived. You basically can read, write, do arithmetic. You can get the average trade job, factory work, whatever. And then they moved it to you needed a high school diploma. You need all these extra classes. It's like, why do you need algebra, calculus, geometry? Where do you use that in general life? Maybe in
an advanced... I've used geometry a few times.
but I mean, if you're not in engineering or construction or something... You're talking about
trade school and geometry.
Yeah.
First thing, those two go pretty well together, but a lot of the other things, algebra goes with absolutely nothing.
Exactly. Unless you go into being a scientist or something. But what I'm getting at is they moved it from eighth grade to the end of high school. High school to you needed an associate's. From an associate's to a bachelor's. To a
bachelor's.
Then you need a master's just to get stuff. And now it's reversing.
Well, it even got up to doctorates.
Doctorate.
And now it's starting to reverse.
Oh, did it actually peak to doctorates where they really wanted people with I thought it peaked at masters and then only the real educated idiots got doctorates.
There is a lot of educated idiots that got doctorates.
Doctorates, okay.
It's starting to dial back.
But people are going after practical knowledge again, and you're going back to the trade school type concepts, going back. So it's kind of arced, or even going through some of the online courses. I can't think of the sites. There's a couple of big ones that are big teaching sites. But you can go get like certificates from them and you can go get a job with them now because it's like they want practical knowledge, not a whole bunch of basket weaving 101 guys or social science PC bull crap. Yeah. So the education is going down.
I have a doctorate in French lit. Great. What are you going to do with that? Become like a tester for an IT firm? Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like,
yeah. So, I mean, it's going down, but it's like the same thing, like you're going back to. It's like, okay, some kids, some adults, you can go off a maturity level, but who gets to decide maturity? That's a really hard one. Because there's days that I act immature, even at my age now.
Oh, hell yeah. I do the same thing. That.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I do the same thing. And then there's other times that my kid who acts more mature than I do. And they're few and far between. That's
fair.
They're few and far between. There are moments. Moments. So it's like, but that's where I'm going back to like a driver's license. I think 16 is a good age to get a driver's license with restrictions. But it's like, if you think your kid's mature enough at 13 or 14 years old, you should be able to go get them a driver's permit that lasts 3 years or whatever. So it's like, I want to get him driving. Or a farmer I know, he wanted his boy to go do some stuff. Well, they shouldn't illegally be driving out there at 14 and get pulled over and hope the cop is nice that day. If you could legally go out, there's kids that are mature enough. Hell, there's one kid I knew that she's going to end up driving great because her dad got her, what is it, one of them Odyssey things or whatever. I don't know. It looks like a four-wheeling off-road type thing, and it's a stick. She drives it all over the place. It's not street legal or anything else, but by the time she gets her license, you know, it's a step up from a golf cart, but it's not a real car yet. It's kind of a go-car, but she's going to know how to drive better than most just because she's been driving for 4 years already.
Yeah.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
The later you start, the worse it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's like starting driving when you're 30. Are you going to be good? No. You're going to be worse. And it's going to be hard as fuck to learn. That's why it's hard to be scared.
You're going to go by semis at 5 miles an hour and piss them off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of driving, I was golfing with the girls and my mom earlier today, and we've been doing it for a while. We signed up for an adult kid league, and just for fun, really. It's But anyway, long story short, I let my youngest drive the golf cart for the first time today. And it's like she thinks she knows, you know, because all the hours of Mario Kart that she's played.
Right.
Same doesn't thing, really. Right? Yeah. Yeah. And then she's like, oh, my gosh, like, you know, steering. And there's so much give in those carts that you need to like do one or two revolutions of the wheel before the wheels actually start turning. And so like, and then figuring out the gas, like, oh, I mean, it was hilarious. Like she was so super excited to do it. But on another level, she's like, wait, I'm trying. It's like, well, sometimes you got to turn. It's like, you know, I'm trying to explain to her.
But she's learning.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I wasn't sure if my boy could actually drive a manual until he went in reverse with our lawn tractor. Because the lawn tractor is one of those you got to push the clutch in to put it in reverse thing. But he finally figured out how to do that. And once he learned how to do that, I knew he could drive a manual no problem.
Yeah.
But
see, there you go.
But I'm thinking back. I started driving in a lawnmower like that when I was like, oh, well, how old are you in fifth grade?
My youngest would be 10.
So about 10 is when I learned how to use a clutch on a lawnmower. So I've been clutching a vehicle since I was 10.
You were heel toeing it. And then popping wheelies in the yard.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Nate, why are you putting wheelie bars on the lawn tractor?
When you don't weigh enough and you're shaking it. Hey, that was before they put the little buttons on the seat, and I used to mow like a big ditch area. I would literally be holding onto the steering wheel out of the seat, standing sideways, holding it, mowing the ditch. Because I only weighed, 100 pounds or whatever?
Yeah.
My dad I remember my father when he bought that lawnmower, when he went to drive it up on the trailer. I don't know if he popped the clutch or how he hit it, but he landed up on his back. I remember he went up. And it basically rolled down and he landed on his back, holding the steering wheel or whatever over him. And the guys in the shop had to come out and help him get it upside right. I don't remember. I was too young to remember exactly why, but I do remember he put himself on his back going up into the trailer. I think he tried to hit the trailer ramp too fast or something. Don't quote me on that part, but it was. All no, I remember no. was
still makes for a great story.
Exactly. The water boy lawnmower.
Yeah. And it wasn't even one of those big lawnmowers. It was just, yeah. Whoa. Things I've done on a lawnmower.
Holy little crap. Giddy up right there. Jesus.
It's scary, probably. Some
had a 454 in it.
Ooh, I've driven some big engine lawnmowers. Fun times.
Yeah.
Hey, okay, quick side note on that since we're really off topic here, but have you ever been to a tractor pull when they're doing the lawnmower section?
I've seen it. I have not been live.
Okay. Seeing it is kind of funny and entertaining. You almost need to go live when they take like a 16 or 18 horse Kohler or whatever and soup it up.
Cub
and
cadet.
That little, yeah, a cub cadet. And they're trying to pull the. It's like you only need to go to it once. I wouldn't have the motivation to keep going, but it's something that everyone should go. You should go to a tractor pull or a lawnmower pull. More specifically, a lawnmower pull one time in your life.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it sounds about.
Do they? I was gonna say, they don't do those a lot anymore. The tractor pulls. I know that they used to do it in my hometown a long time ago because my dad had old videotapes of it. And whenever we were doing that long vacation, we were in South Dakota. They were playing at the bar and Allie looks at me. She's like, what is that? You've never seen a tractor pull? It just shows that it's not around like it used to be.
It's not but I have seen some signs for them when I've been out driving around. There are a couple of towns that have some. It's usually around one of their festivals. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot smaller than it used to be but it's still going.
Still have,
you got to get out in the hicks. You got to get out in the place where you like don't county realize
fairs or something.
Yeah. Away from any bigger city. It's like the farther you get away from the city, the more you start to see that type stuff. You got to get into hold my beer territory.
Well, that's where I grew up, bud.
Farther away. Yeah.
There was 2,000 people in my hometown. It was Hold My Beer County.
That's awesome.
All right. As we're moving along, one of you guys threw this in here. Could you be in a relationship with a woman that extends the last words in sentences? I don't know what that means.
Yeah, this one wasn't me.
Oh, you don't this know is what a... I mean. I was watching this video of this guy would ask random people like these questions. Like one of them, what's your body count? And she's like, well, I don't know if you would count a lot of them. And I'm just listening the whole time. Like, if I met a chick and she talked like that the whole time, I would leave.
I'm trying to think now that you say that, I'm trying to think if I know any gals. Just the last word, extending it out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I know anyone like that.
You know, I don't to answer the question straight ahead. I don't think I could either. Like, I mean, just talk like a normal fucking human being.
You know what? I would end up making fun of her, and she would leave me.
Fair.
I think it comes out more when women are drunk, but there's some that just do it sober.
Okay, if they're drunk, they in my mind they have an excuse, and I'm making fun of them, and I may have made one or two cry, but you know, it's sober up and make. But that was like a drunk thing. I can't think of anyone doing it sober though. I can't even really think of it doing drunk so much. Not every sentence.
So there, I don't know what it's called, but there is something in like speech, kind of thing where it's that where they do that at the end, where it's sort of an up. Like you were like CJ was just doing. I know I can't do it, but it's like you have that sort of, not only do you elongate the words, but it's like you're kind of
slightly,
yeah, you're kind of bending the pitch upwards. And there is there is something, it's not broadcast, but it's just in speaking generally. And I heard, it was a radio guy that I heard talk about this, where there's people doing that a lot today. And it's almost like a, what do I want to say? It's almost like there's a, in your particular case, that example, right? I don't think it's necessarily an arrogant, more higher educated, I know more than you kind of thing. But that's when your example is definitely not that. But I've heard it referenced in kind of like, that where somebody's trying to demonstrate like they know more than you, they're smarter than you, they're better than you kind of thing. They'll do that to try and, you know, it's like, you know,
letting the dumb people catch up.
Exactly. Kind of thing. But really it's, you know, it is a speech for the life of me. I can't think of it and I'm not going to look it up, but it's not worth it. But I don't know that I could just talk. Fuck. Just use your words. Just be who you are. Like we live in this world where so many people are already trying to pretend that they're something that they're not. So
I think the silent stare would work well. You know, where you just kind of look at him and you're like,
were you done?
Yeah. I mean, we're on a podcast, so I don't want to go completely silent and you can't see the look on my face. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, it's one of those. It's like the silent stare where you just stare at them and you're like,
And then,
and but yeah, you don't say anything at all.
Oh, wrong.
Yeah, yeah, that's a smoking a reefer, reefer madness.
You know what movie that's from?
Which one?
The comment I just made.
Cheech and Chong's.
Oh, it should be Cheech and Chong. No, it's from Super Troopers.
I was going to say Smoking Reefer was not.
Yeah. No, Super Troopers. And they were dealing with the guys that were eating the mushrooms. And
you guys, they weren't smoking. They were smoking reefer. That's why you just said smoking the reefer.
They were not doing shrooms. No, the guy in the back seat was doing shrooms. He ate that bag of shrooms.
Did you eat the whole bag, man? We're going to sit here and watch you smoke the whole bag. Please no, mister.
Who wants to go to Mexico?
You boys like Mexico.
Such a great movie. Anyway. No, so yeah, if they extend the word of the last,
it's not extremely common, but every time I hear it, it's just nails. It's
annoying as fuck.
Yeah. Oh my god, how do people put up with that? Like, could you imagine actually being in a relationship with somebody that does that? God,
yeah. Nope.
I can't say that I have. I even on the drunk side of things, I slurring words.
All the Kardashian women talking like that. That would be fucking annoying.
I don't listen to any of them, so I couldn't tell you if that's true or not. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really either.
Watch the Kardashians, we know.
Yeah, secretly, Nate's a closet Keeping Up with the Kardashians fanboy. He runs his own website.
It's a
fan site.
Oh.
That would be hilarious.
Maybe that's what I should do. I'd probably make more money doing that than some of the other stuff I've done. Come to think about it, maybe I should just do my own Keeping Up with Them. I bet it would bring in more.
That would be fantastic. That would be... Especially if you started it now and kind of went back and like started from the beginning. It's like, what the fuck is this shit?
Oh, you could do like a YouTube series and you're just commentating on like the show.
Reacting, live reacting like Mystery Science 3000. Oh, that'd be hilarious. Well, then
you got to talk about Jenner too. Don't you have to talk about the Jenners in there? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That would get me kicked off YouTube.
Yeah, Bill Burr has a bit about him. He's like, Bruce Jenner, it's like all of a sudden he walks out as a guy, he comes back as a woman, and you're supposed to be like, oh, hey, yeah, Caitlin, so these mortgage prices, they're absolutely ridiculous. You know, he's like, it's just like this thing. He's like, he should have let us say goodbye. It's like, I miss that guy already. He's like, I watched him in the Olympics. I watched him on Chips. I watched him on that show that my wife watches where he just walks around in the background.
Was he in Chips?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, really? I forgot about that.
Like some later seasons.
Seasons, okay.
Yeah. But anyway,
you know,
but check it out. Bill Burr is hilarious. So.
Yes, he is. He says the holidays.
He's coming to Des Moines.
Really?
Yeah, September.
Really?
But I'm getting tickets. I'm definitely going.
Are you? Let me know.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't mind seeing him in concert. I don't know.
A concert?
Well, concert, class. What did they call it for?
It's a concert.
Show? No, it's just a tour date.
Yeah. It's a tour date? Okay, whatever the tour date is, let me know. If you find out, how expensive is it to go see Bill Burr? He'd actually be a person I'd be willing to spend more than I normally would. Just because
it's Bill Burr. Yeah.
It's Bill Burr and he says it how it is.
Yeah.
There's very few comedians that make me laugh. He's one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to. Oh, not Chris Rock.
He'll be in Peoria.
He's doing Peoria?
Yeah.
Oh, November 5th.
Really?
Yep. October, you'll be in Iowa.
Who's not Chris Rock? Who's the other?
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, I was listening to one of his bits the other night, and I just must not have been in a mood for comedian because I was like, "Come on, Chappelle! You usually make me laugh. You usually have me in tears, and you're not doing it tonight." It's like.
He has a bit about Jussie Smollett that's hilarious.
I think, and usually Chappelle just has me laughing my ass off, and I think I must not have been in the mood for comedian. Just everything he said was falling flat. But yeah, he's another one that usually can crack me up because he doesn't care anymore. It's like, I'm just gonna say it.
I was showing Ali Burt Kreischer's stand up yesterday.
See, Burt's one I laugh at, but I wouldn't pay to go see. Bill Burr's someone I'd pay to go see. So,
I like going to see comedy. I don't really care who it is. There's a little stand up around here that we go to every once in a while. It's always awesome, even though they're. You know, the smaller time, they only seat about 30 people at the most, but it's always a good time.
Yeah, but if he goes to Des Moines, I was thinking if Jimmy G came over, I come over, we could.
Shit, we could all go. I don't care.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got to see it in a local comedy club, Bill Ingvall, right as he was kind of hitting it, like just before he truly hit it big. And his opening act was. Now I'm drawing a blank. God.
Ooh, that's
who's the guy? Larry the Cable Guy.
The Cable Guy? Oh.
Yeah, it was a Blue Comedy Tour.
And no, actually, this was before any of that.
It was before it. Oh, Jesus.
Larry the Cable Guy wasn't really Larry the Cable Guy yet. He was fine-tuning. It was before he figured it out. And so he was the opening act for... Oh, Bill Ingvall. So he's this dude from Nebraska, just did a thing, and at times it was a little off. Like now today, looking back, you could totally see where it's obvious what he was trying to do, but in those early days he's messing with the dials and all the switches to get it right, and some things landed and other things were just off and not like, but then, you know, Bill came on and we all laughed our asses off and walked out, but it was great. So yeah, local comedies, like, especially when they go to the smaller shows. Yeah.
There you go. Everyone's going to hear this now and going to be like, oh, we're going to stalk these guys October 8th at Bill Burr's. Yeah. I know you're not.
The crowds of fans. Podcast will be
but there. That's a Saturday. I could do a Saturday.
There we go.
I have to think about that. We'll have to talk about that later. That might be a good weekend to hook up, and we'll try some of Jimmy G's drinks beforehand.
Are you bringing the whole cabinet?
I can do that. Yeah, I'll make that happen.
You make that happen.
I'm in.
You gonna do what was it the last time that sauteed one of the few times I liked chicken? What was it that sauteed?
The wings,
the kebabs,
the kebab thing,
and then the beef kebab. Yeah, I can make those flank steak, whatever they're called. Yeah,
I don't know. It's like both of them is almost too much. We almost need one or the other because it's like I want to eat of it.
Shut the fuck up, Nate.
I know
too much.
We'll have it covered. We'll have it covered.
I'll take leftovers.
Whatever it is. Yeah, we'll have it covered.
She just wants the leftovers. He doesn't care.
That's fair. I can respect that. I can respect that.
I'm a leftovers kind of guy.
That's good shit, too. So,
all right. This is a good part of our conversation. What truths come out when you are drinking or drunk? Repressed thoughts.
Yeah.
I think this was something that came up to say.
Yeah, I think this came up on a podcast. Or at the end of one, we said, we should talk about that sometime. And that's where this came up, where it's like, you know, honesty comes out. And I've known some people where it's like, I think when they're drunk, I think that's who they want, who they are, who they want to be.
No, I think who they are is more than who they want to be.
Oh, fair. But So I'll go as far as saying it's who they are, but they don't want to, but positive and negatively. Like, I'm not just talking about people who get drunk and they become angry, belligerent.
Well, that's kind of like all the way over.
But I think there's people who say what they're really think, like they're in a way that the alcohol takes away their whatever. So they're able to be more vulnerable and authentic. And that's who they really are.
Yeah, it's what he's saying. It's no filter. The alcohol removes it, like dissolves the filter. It dissolves those barriers, and they start talking. I don't have the best filter in the world, but my tactfulness, which isn't that great to begin with,
goes to zero.
What tact I do have, just it's like, no, it's dude, gone. You're a dumbass. It's like, yeah, it's
yeah. Well, and anymore, I don't know that I drink enough to you know, I mean, but
you know what's funny though? I just like tonight, you and I had one drink, things. We will be looser with what we say after one drink.
Yeah.
Compared to even getting drunk. I think it's kind of one of those things. If you drink in moderation, it loosens you up just enough to relax. The pickup artists kind of talk about this. You drink enough just to relax, but not enough to actually be drunk.
Drunk, yeah.
It lowers your inhibitions. It lowers that filter just a little bit to relax you. So I think someone that's had one or two type drinks, and I'm not talking pissy at drinks. I'm talking, you know, some
good stiff adult drink. An old fashioned Manhattan,
an old fashioned
whiskey, bourbon.
It gives you just that bit of relaxation that you're willing to say more than you normally would. You're that filter's gone. You don't hold back as much.
You don't think about the repercussions of what you're going to say because it feels better to get it out anyways.
Exactly. Whereas when you start drinking too much, then it becomes to that like belligerent, stupid. You bring up some of those repressed thoughts, but instead of saying it in like a one or two drinks where you can still think intelligently, it comes out stupidly. And it's like, those are words you probably shouldn't utter. And
that's how fights start.
You're not going to remember it the next day. Where one or two drinks, you're going to remember it the next day. So I think there's a level of where the filter's off to where it hits really repressed thoughts. And really it comes down to how much does your life suck and how much do you hate the other person? And when I say how much you hate the other person, I'm thinking how many marriage relationships, male and females, they get in a fight when they're drinking because that filter is completely gone.
Yeah. Where even one coworkers or whatever. Yeah.
Rare. Yeah. They really get into it. Where like a one or two drinks, the filter comes off, but you can still say something slightly tactful.
Yeah. It's the authenticity you should have when you're sober, but because that filters up, like for whatever reason, right?
It's kind of like you're in a safe space whenever everybody's drinking. It's like they're drinking, I'm drinking. It kind of makes it a little bit of a safe spot because things that are said in the bar aren't always taken, you know, to heart as much as they would be in the normal setting.
True. Yeah. Or even a backyard barbecue kind of thing too, where it's sort of a lighthearted thing to begin with, or I mean, not lighthearted, funny, haha, but you know, it's just a lighter mood, a lighter whatever. And then you start talking, you start having a drink and conversations flowing. Yeah. That makes sense. Like there's a, it's a whoopee for a people.
Whoopee. You know what a whoopee is, CJ?
Like security blanket.
Oh, you gotta look up what peanut?
Linus.
Oh,
The other thing that the military movie was the what were those things?
A bottle called? Of scotch.
Well, that too. No, the camouflage like liner thing. I can't think of what it was called. That was we used to call those woobies. Anybody that wanted one of those, it was like Vietnam era camouflage. But people were like, well, I like my little, oh, you like your little woobie? Is that so?
You want one? There's, what was the movie with Michael Keaton, Mr. Mom, where the son is, he's got his blanket and he's like Linus. He won't let it go. And he's a young kid, but he's on the older side. So he doesn't want to let it go. And finally, it's like one time he's like, I think it's time to get rid of the whoobie. And he starts handing it to his dad, and Michael Keaton's the dad, and he takes it. And then there's like, a small, subtle tug of war. And then he finally lets it go. It's funny. Anyway, but yeah, it's a whoopee. Anyway, yeah, I think there's, you know, and how much do we, you know, especially if our lives or whatever isn't our, whether it's our work life or personal life, it could be some aspect of it isn't right or isn't where it should be. Maybe it's our relationships. Maybe it's whether that's with spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, or whether it's with our kids or our family, you know, parents, whatever, coworkers, like something's not right. And so we repress all the things that we're thinking or feeling. But then when we have a drink or two, then that starts
getting emotional.
Not repressed stuff, but you're able to talk about it because you, like when you're sober, you're more consciously trying to not say anything or whatever, or you don't want to say anything, or you don't want to have the conversation, so you avoid it. But then one or two drinks in, and then you end up having that conversation because all that shit finds a way of getting out one way or another.
And then you also find people that try to use alcohol to suppress it even more, and those guys become angry, emotional alcoholics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just blame everybody else, but it's really them making the problems. It kind of, there's a way to, like you said, just a few and then actually talk it, because you kind of got a little bit of that confidence and you kind of take that, a little bit of that nerve away.
Yep.
But
a little bit of look both directions. There's the word I was looking for.
You can go both ways with that.
Yeah, there's, you know, while we've been talking, I mean, there's somebody I know that I'm convinced that not the necessarily fall down drunk version of, but the just intoxicated enough version of them is who they really are. But right. Sober, they there's this air of I'm bulletproof, I'm strong, I'm whatever, you know, just this sort of like, it's, you know, almost like the thing where Batman's the real person, Bruce Wayne is the alter ego, or, kind of thing, or that's the real person. Bruce Wayne is really the Batman, but his Bruce Wayne, that's the actual costume. Kind of thing. In the same way, it's like, so, you know, normal looking business suit guy, this person I'm thinking of, that's their, when they're sober, they're Bruce Wayne, but when they're drinking, and again, just a couple drinks in, just enough, they're Batman, and that's who they really want to be, but think they have to be this thing in their daily lives, in relationships and all that sort of stuff. So it's a weird juxtaposition where I think it's, you know, and how many people are like that? You know,
probably way too many.
Which is sad, because that person, you know, I'm not saying they are Batman, but that person, when they're two drinks in, is, you know, an amazing person. It's almost like when they're sober, they're the asshole, like, in a way, if that makes sense. So
yeah. trying to be who they're not, and it makes them an asshole.
Yeah. Or they convince themselves that they have to be that way. And I'm sure I could imagine,
or they're getting told they need to be that way.
Yeah.
You know, there's those guys out there, and I'm thinking more along the guys, you know, their wife, girlfriend, mother, whatever, tells them they got to be such and such, da-da-da-da.
That's related. A fair point, too.
And then they have a couple
positional, like, I'm a CEO, or I'm in this rank in the military or something. There's a certain air of, I need to be this, and maybe I'm not really that or something.
Right. And then they have that one or two drinks. I think that's where the number is. It's like one or two. You start hitting three starts pushing it, depending on what you're drinking. I mean, if you're drinking piss water.
You're drinking Bush Light.
You can drink a 24-pack and you're just pissing. It's piss water.
Yeah.
CJ's looking at me. Yeah.
But when you're anyway,
I want to see you drink a 24 pack.
So. Hey, back in the
day. I'm talking about now.
Back in the day, man, 24 pack was like, it was just all it did was make me piss. That's all it did. It was like,
at this point, all I'd be doing is grabbing two cans and acting like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Steve Austin. walking around the backyard. Popping cans and smashing them together.
You know, when your daily habit was a 24 pack of beer in a bottle of private stock Captain Morgan.
Yeah, that's
a small case.
Breakfast.
Yeah, it was like
we're on light today, huh?
Yeah, when your breakfast was a frozen pizza and a couple of beers. Yeah, you know,
those Totino's party pizzas.
I can taste those days.
I'm glad those days are over.
That is so true. That is so true. They say you can't taste a picture. Can't taste a video, but I can totally taste it.
Here's a question for you. How many frozen pizzas have you cooked with the cardboard still underneath the pizza in the oven?
That I can remember at least three.
You got me by one. I can only remember two. The first one, I remember this more so than cooking the pizza. I remember pulling it out of the oven and being pissed because it was still doughy and couldn't figure out why.
Fucking oven work. That one's bad. Mine was always people falling asleep after they put it in.
That's
weren't too
but yeah, you could buy those things like 5 for $5, 10 for $10 kind of thing, like, or with some ridiculous a buck a piece, and you could clear out the freezer case.
Yep.
And just cook it, fold it up like a taco, and just eat it.
But every time you cooked one with the cardboard on it, man, you're like, why is this so freaking doughy? It's like less. And just like you're saying,
the top's cooked.
Yeah, but it's like the last 10 I've cooked were good, or the last 9 I cooked were good. Why is this one bad? And you're like, you're not sober enough to realize that you left the cardboard underneath it.
But man, those back in the day, those things tasted so damn good. I know they didn't, but in my head, that was like almost gourmet pizza.
What I realized is that if you put enough ranch and buffalo on it, it didn't matter how undercooked it was.
Which one was it that had the little chunks of pepperoni instead of the round pieces?
Oh,
fucking. Was those
Totino's
party? That was the party pizza.
Oh, yeah. That was the party pizza.
Yeah. We used to call it the little erasers.
Yes. Those things were so greasy, you would have to like have a bib on because as you ate it, the grease.
But back in the day,
yeah.
Especially if you're drunk. Oh, so good.
I think that's what makes those pizzas taste so well is
alcohol. It's all the grease.
Is all the alcohol.
The alcohol mixed with the grease was the right combo. Yeah. I was a chubby bunny, but I remember, well, actually, when I was drinking and eating those, I was actually at a good weight, so I wasn't even a chubby bunny. I just, yeah.
All the fresh pizza and the beer probably did not help that.
That was after I quit working out.
Yeah, it just,
yeah.
Let's push this along real quick.
Yeah. All right, one last topic for the night. A happy life profile. And this comes from, because the other day, and I'm probably glad that my mother doesn't listen to this, because if she ever did, I'd probably get yelled at on three different levels. But anyway, beyond that, is for some reason, oh, I was looking for trucks on Marketplace, but I started bouncing around on some Facebook profiles. And normally I'm not on Facebook unless I'm going to Marketplace. I'm not a Facebook person. Don't friend me on Facebook. I probably won't remember to refriend you back. I'm not a Facebook person. But I'm going around to these profiles of a bunch of guys I know. And I'm amazed. It's like I have knowledge of them, talked with them, and I get where they're coming from. But when I go to their profiles, all I see is happy, happy wife, happy life. And yeah. if your profile reads that and you're telling me one thing and I'm seeing this.
You sound oppressed.
Your life sucks.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of guys don't realize that they probably should go look at their own profile. And if your profile how should I say this? If your profile looks like a happy life profile, you got work to do. You know, you have major, your life sucks. I'm just going to put that out there. Your life sucks. I know your life sucks. Been there, done that, unfortunately. You know, I've already crossed that path, moved on, thank goodness. But if you're doing a happy life profile, you really need to start centering on yourself, and you got a shit ton of work to do.
Happy marriage makes a happy marriage. It's not one person.
Right.
Yeah, but we certainly live in a society, right, that, you know, that whole happy wife, happy life mantra. Well, it's not my, I mean, it's not my job. It's not my kid's job to make my wife happy. Like, I can now, obviously, there are things that I should do that are the right things to do,
but that's not the goal.
But ultimately, her happiness, just like my happiness, is that comes from me. I can make myself happy or not, right? It's I love coming on this podcast and talking to you guys, but I'm not expecting you guys to make me happy. That's up to me.
Sure about that.
Well, not anymore now that you bring it up.
Well, I've heard stories too on that. So,
yeah.
There was that one time in St. Louis. Wasn't it St. Louis?
One time at band camp.
Are you talking about Alabama?
Or was that Alabama?
Yeah.
Alabama. Okay. Yeah. Moving on. Go ahead, Jimmy.
or Nashville? What? Anyway.
Oh, my God. I don't want to get to that story.
But there is something, you know, like social media is such a curated experience, like all of it. And you're right. I've noticed this here recently, actually for a while now. I'm in the same boat you are, Nate. Like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, it doesn't matter what it is. Like you, there are people we know, and the things that they post, the things that they share on social media, and what their personal lives like, or at least what they're saying their personal lives are really like, is east and west. Like it's not even the same. And it's like, okay, now granted, you don't need to air all your laundry either.
Right.
But if you're posting all these platitudes,
here's a good question thing on this. I guess one of the things I have difficulties is when do you call these guys out on it?
I struggle with that. Because there's lots of times I want to say something.
But is it worth it?
Exactly.
Is it worth my time and effort?
Is it really going to land? Like, I could just say it.
Even 99% though 99% of the time, it's a big fat no.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how do you explain to a person that the profile reads as, like, say he's a drinking buddy? You know, let's set up a scenario. Say he's a drinking buddy or a smoking buddy or just a pal you hang out with. And he's telling you all this shit or you're hearing it or whatever. And then you go look at his Facebook profile, like me. Not a guy that goes to Facebook very often. Doesn't see it. And you go there and you look at it and you're like, holy crap. If I just saw your profile, it's happy wife, happy life. It's a happy life profile. And then you turn around and want to go, well, your profile says life is wonderful.
You seem pretty miserable yesterday.
Yeah. You're complaining about all of this. It's almost like, how do you call a guy out like this? It's a challenge for me, you know? You're looking at it and it's like,
yeah, or somebody's this may give away too much, but you know, people who post things, post advice. I'll just say that.
Well, we got things. Another one on that. We
yeah, but for another but podcast, just even but even yeah. doing that, like that, there it's that too. Like it's not just oh everything's great, but if you do this, you know, then your life will be better, kind of thing. It's like, yeah, but you're living.
What about your own?
You're living in a dumpster fire, like what, and going, everything's fine here. Like, we're all okay. How are you doing? It's like, wait, what? How does that square? And how much of some of that though is like, we're afraid the collective, or the people that we're talking about are afraid, like just truly afraid to face those things. And it kind of ties back to what we were talking about earlier, right? With the alcohol, right? You mask that, you hide, you repress your feelings and all those sorts of things. And yet, you know, you're hiding in plain sight, as it were, right? By posting whatever on social media that everything's great. I love my life. I love my wife. I love my kids. When the reality is even shit you love becomes a chore after a while. Everybody has shitty days. It's okay to not be okay sometimes. Some days you're just blah. Sometimes you're neutral. Sometimes you're happy. Sometimes you're set. Like, it just is what it is. But and if you're going through rough shit, like you're saying, we've been there. We've all, and we share it on this podcast all the time. All the shit that we've gone through, that we've dealt with, that still may affect us in some way or whatever. But it's, you know, but it's easy to not. And it's easy. I saw something today where it was something on Twitter where it's, you know, basically the gist of it was too many people are settled. Like, you should be pushing yourself or challenging yourself. And even, you know, not in some grandiose way, but just growing is important, kind of thing. So get out of your comfort zone, kind of thing. And you know, I thought, I retweeted that or reposted that, but with a comment saying far too many people are okay with not that bad, right? It's like, we learn to live with a life that's not that bad. Oh, my relationship with my wife isn't that bad. My job isn't that bad. The income I make is good enough. Like, you know, how often do we kind of fall in those sorts of traps? And the social media thing kind of feeds into that. We convince ourselves that, oh yeah, it's really not that bad. So here's a picture of me with my wife on a date night, or, you know, whatever, happy family activity photo, yeah, stuff like that. When in reality, we know it's not where it should be or could be, but like I said, we just accept not that bad. That should be the post. I'll change that on all my social media profiles.
It's, you know, not that bad.
Jimmy
it's
G. Not that bad.
Yeah, yes. That's perfect.
Since our listeners couldn't see that response, that was the shrug from CJ. That's
the shrug emoji was fantastic.
Yes.
He's got that's, the exact that's blue his shirt most that common I wear. One in chat.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's a great emoji.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I think if more people if you have a hard time looking internally and seeing yourself, go see about a whole bunch of Facebook posts that you don't like and then go back and look at your own and see if it's the same way. You know, it's like go look at your Facebook and see how it reads and compare that to your real life and see if they match up. Cool. You know, if things are going good and everything and what you're posting is like legit, awesome. But if it's not, and you're just trying to, I don't know, fake it till you make it type thing, do some soul searching and realize maybe it's time to get off Facebook, because at some point there's going to be someone that calls you out on it. You know, it's like, yeah.
Well, and you know, you saying that made me think of something else that I've seen a lot too. I've seen folks be honest. Like they'll say, hey, you know, I got lazy and stopped going to the gym for the last 6 months or, you know, last year or something or whatever it is. I fell off the wagon. I was sober for a year and a half and then I started drinking again or something. The other thing is when you're looking at your social media profiles, if every 6 months, every year, shit, every 3 months, oh, well, I'm really going to do it every New Year's. I'm really going to do it this time. I'm going to go to the gym. Yeah. I'm going to lose the weight. I'm going to change myself. I'm going to become better in relationships, or I'm going to find a better job or make more money. Like,
I'm finally going to divorce her.
Yeah, exactly. If you see these things over and over, like if you're constantly, and I've even seen some people post, I know I've said this before, but this time I'm really going to, it's like, no, you're not.
No.
If you have to post it like that, if that's the way you're phrasing it, no, you're not. Just do the fucking thing. Yeah. So if you scroll through just an easy self-evaluation. That's a good idea, Nate. Just scroll through your social media posts. Do they line up? Do they square with your real, like actual reality? What's your life like? Does it reflect that? Yes or no? And if the answer is no, or if you go through it and it's a repetitive refrain of I'm going to do this thing over and over,
just then do the thing.
Either don't worry about doing the thing because you clearly don't want to do it, or truly commit to doing the thing. So you 6 months from now, you don't have post to repost.
It, just do it.
Yeah.
And then you can post you did the thing.
6 months later, your post will be, here's a picture of me after 6 months of working out or whatever, or by closing on a new house.
Show them the end. Don't tell them about the start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Good point.
Or just delete your Facebook.
There you go. Get the fuck out.
Hey, delete your Facebook.
And 10 then years Facebook free right here.
Yeah. There you go.
If it wasn't for business and marketplace, I would not be on Facebook. Nice. Marketplace. And speaking of someone I know, Jimmy G, still looks on Facebook for certain things because it'll pop up as Des Moines, Iowa.
I used to use yours for marketplace. You must have locked me out, fucker, because I couldn't do it a while ago. I was pissed. Now I wouldn't search anything. I don't know.
I didn't lock you out.
I can still get in yours. It just wouldn't let me look at anything. I was pissed.
Oh,
well, I got to sell my girls.
It switched on mine. That's how I knew you. Well, something happened. Well, it's Facebook. I don't know how it all works, but I logged in the other day. Actually, I was looking for trucks for the little man, and I realized it was on Des Moines, Iowa. I was actually like, well, maybe I should look, because if I find something good, I can ask CJ to go look at it for me.
I said I was Facebook free. Like, I don't have one. I'm not saying I didn't use other people's.
That is true.
You know,
technically not, still not. I mean, you're technically correct. So.
Hey, you're better off than me. I at least have enough profile with like a couple of friends or something or whatever they call them on there. And yeah, but I basically use it for Marketplace. That's it. That's
that Marketplace works way better than Craigslist for selling anything. Holy shit.
Yeah, Craigslist is just junk anymore.
You might as well just throw that thing away.
Yeah, Marketplace is much better. But I have found out that even then, if you have a profile, so you're like better off using your girl's Marketplace, like girl's profile to log on to Marketplace, than you are to try to use your own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they're like friends with everybody, and it like broadcasted out to
more people. Yeah.
Yeah. Then not having any friends type thing, whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't have friends.
I don't either.
not a bad way to go.
Hey, and if you're wondering, if you're listening to this and you're wondering how your profile is, text one of us, not necessarily on Facebook, more like IG or Twitter or something. Yeah.
Hit us up. We'll take a look at it.
We'll take tell a look
you the at honest it. Reviews.
Yeah, we'll give you an honest review of your whatever profile you want. Facebook, IG, Twitter. We'll give you an honest review.
We could do a podcast on Facebook profile reviews.
Oh, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
We won't say your name, but we'll let you know which one you are.
Yeah. We'll text you after the fact if you're contestant one, contestant two.
We have a winner.
Yeah. If you want to get at the top of the list of the happy wife, happy life type thing. Or if you're single and just a happy life and
miserable. Yeah. I mean,
we'll give you a view.
Happy life and miserable.
And really miserable. I mean, it's.
It's amazing how many pictures you can look at of people, though, and see that they're miserable. Mm-hmm. Even with all the smiling faces and the made up poses, it's like you look at certain people and it's like they're freaking miserable.
Well, and do you think
I would take that back? I look miserable in most pictures.
Fair.
I don't know that one where you were like half naked in the lake while you were camping last year. You looked happy in that one.
Oh, no. Yeah, because I was I look good.
Well, yeah. I mean, but how much of that too is you know, how guys like us having gone through that work, like you were saying, Nate, you've been down there, the road, you've been through some stuff, and I have too, CJ has, and so how much of that I where we notice things that other men, other women too, like, may not notice, just because we've real recognizes real or real recognizes fake, and having done the work on ourselves, having put in the hours, not just in the gym, but in so many other pieces and parts, shining the light internally and fixing whatever demons we're facing, or, you know, kind of thing, that you could see that, you just, even whether it's talking to a person, whether it's looking at pictures of them, or they're seeing their profile stuff, social media profile, how much of that is just because we've done the work? It's not that we, you know, we're judgy. I mean, we are judgy, but it's not just because of that. it's because we've done the work. And right. once you do some amount of work, you can look around and it's almost like you can't see.
You can't unsee it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what I was where I was yeah. going. Yeah.
I mean, it's like bodybuilders talking about bodybuilders. They see stuff that I can't see because they've been there, done that, and you know, it's just like
everyone's like watching a movie and seeing the propaganda behind it.
Yeah. It's absolutely. Like you really
people gloss over and you're like, well, that's kind of fucked up that they put that in there.
Yeah. And I'm thinking on the bodybuilder thing, sometimes they'll be like, that guy looks flat or that guy looks bloated. I don't see it. I don't get it.
You don't Why? Die.
I've never been down that path. I've never been that big. I've never had to diet. I
haven't looked like Dorian Yates or
Ronnie. Exactly.
You never know? Had shredded glutes.
You know, it's like, okay, I'll take these guys' opinion because they've been there, they've done it, they know what they're talking about. And then there's, it's like an easy subject. But then there's guys that have delved into it so deep that even if they haven't done it themselves or they've done like part of it, it's like they've looked at it so closely, they start to get it. Mm. Okay, I can believe those guys too, you know? It's all the other guys out there that, oh, I went and lifted weights and I can tell you what all this. No. I don't believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You went it's to a 60-year-old
running gram a test.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That one time in the gym in the back corner. I curled in the squat rack.
Now I'm an expert.
Jimmy G heard it from 100 miles away.
Oh, well, I hope someone was entertained, learned something, or had some fun along the way.
Well, if you did, throw us a 5-star review.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Check out barbarianrhetoric.com.
Yeah. Apple Podcasts or Spotify, 5-star review, help spread the word. There we go.
Let one of your normie friends.
Yeah, tell one of your normie friends. Yeah,
mouth breather.
I'm a mouth breather right now. I was going to say, my nose is stuffed, so I am currently a mouth breather.
Fair. Right. This one time will allow it.
With that, have a good night.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. I hope it's given you something to think about in your own quest to develop a barbarian mindset. Because it's with this mindset that you'll find the skills, strength, attitude, will, and endurance to see things through and live within the civilization and still be a barbarian. We appreciate your feedback. We especially appreciate those who have been supporting the podcast. That's the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. On our website, on Anchor FM, and on Spotify. You can find the show notes on the blog or anchor.fm/barbarianrhetoric. If the podcast has been helpful to you, please let us know. You can do this by checking into the Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars, and leaving us a short review. This will help us get our message out in front of many more people. You can also talk to us on social media and let us know what you are thinking about or how this has helped you. On Twitter, I am at SteelJanz. That's STEELJANZ. And I'm also on Instagram at Barbarian Rhetoric. There's also a couple other things you need to check out. One is the Barbarian Rhetoric blog. And of course, our newsletter. There's a pop-up which you'll see as soon as you land on the blog. Thanks for listening. And always remember to be a barbarian in a civilized world. An apex predator.